Welcome to another episode of Worst Collection Ever. This is the show where we tell you about the worst comic book collection in existence, and it just happens to belong to us. I'm Jen.
And I'm Sean.
Oh, and he's already yawning.
I know.
We're off to a good start.
Yeah, that's how we do it. We're releasing this a little bit late this week. You know, maybe we'll pick up towards the end of the week because it's Christmas. It's getting to Christmas. We just had a raging party.
I don't know about raging, but yes, we had a party.
Well, just here's the thing. I'll say this much: it's raging because
a dog wearing a mask in that.
It's creepy because it kind of looks like it works. And I'm like, that could be like a human face under there.
Oh, that poor puppy.
We had a party, and it's one of those things where like preparing for a party.
My God, like, it's so much work.
And just getting everything in order and
I'm glad
hosting
we had it.
Yeah,
it's
I'm
just,
glad
it
too.
It is a lot of work. And I'm exhausted. My eyes are all like dry and shit. So I'm kind of out of it.
We had a lot of delicious food.
I didn't drink enough.
Really?
I should have drank more.
Oh. Yeah. We got plenty of booze left over, though. We got plenty of macarons. We just had nothing but macarons.
So many.
No, it was cool.
That's good.
It's good times. I was telling somebody the other day, like, I like the holidays, but I also hate them.
Yeah.
Because it's so much, like, from Halloween on.
Yeah.
It's just like a sprint. Usually the fall just feels like a big sprint.
Yeah.
For us in general. But, like, especially towards the time of the end of the year until, like, you know, till New Year's. It's been pretty wild, so. We're doing our best between now and the end of the year to make sure we got episodes because we have Christmas books to talk about. We'll have to see if I can dig up the Hanukkah book. We did get some assistance from our listener friend, Russell Bragg. Mm. I believe he sent us a...
He did. He sent us a list of possible Hanukkah books. So we'll have to dig into that and see if we have any.
Yeah, I wonder if we do. I will say this much. So we're doing a book today that's the first book we're doing off of the DC Universe app.
Oh, very exciting.
And there's a lot on there to really sink your teeth into. So it's very possible that, you know, we'll talk more about this later. I'll talk more about it later, but it's very possible just having, we might have some access to some of these books. I'm kind of hoping that's going to be the case. I don't know if we've done a lot of like comic book stuff. Well, we watched the Wonder Woman trailer did it come out last week?
Yeah.
I saw it and I don't know exactly what the hell's going on in it. I mean, I'll figure it out, but it just feels...
I haven't been keeping up. So this is part of the thing where since I'm not reading about any of the behind the scenes stuff, any of the... basically anything. All I know is it's being made. I honestly have no idea what it's about. It's set in the 80s for some reason.
I don't get that.
Which I don't know why. Maybe they'll tell us. It's set in the 80s. Kristen Wiig is in it. She's going to be Cheetah. Pedro Pascal is in it. And he's Maxwell Lord. That's literally all I know about it.
I don't know why Maxwell Lord's in it.
I don't know. She's got that cool gold suit like she had in the comics. That's neat. With like the wings and shit.
So where did that gold suit come from?
Oh, like in the movie or in the comics?
No, in the comics. I don't remember ever wearing
that. It's in it. Yeah, it is.
Is it like a new thing?
I don't know.
Because I only know like her being, you know, obviously her traditional costume. And I remember the bike shorts, you know, and I know of all of her ones from the, you know, from the New 52 and all that. But I don't know. I mean, unless if it was a different outfit. It looks good. It looks like a good movie. I mean, I'm certain it'll probably be a lot. The trailer for me didn't do a whole lot for it, initially to get me excited. There was something about the way, especially in the first part of the trailer. I haven't watched it since last week, but there's a feel to it where it's like a thriller. Like it doesn't feel like a comic book movie.
And I mean, maybe that's going to be okay.
Maybe. I mean, I'm fine with that doing something different. You know, but it's a little bit off-putting for a Wonder Woman movie to be like that, you know, especially because, you know, you do these movies, you know, you do like a Wonder Woman movie and the last one was so, you know, like such a sweeping epic of, you know, Amazons and stuff like that. And this one feels much more, much more localized. Yeah, we'll see. You know, it comes out what? Does it come out in the summer? Is that what we're waiting for, or is it sooner?
April or May, maybe. So I'm just reading an article on Polygon.com. It says, though rarely worn, Wonder Woman's eagle armor has appeared in multiple DC comics where it looks almost exactly like the version in the movie. For something so seemingly gaudy and impractical, its origins can be traced back to Alex Ross.
Okay, so is it from like the Kingdom Come?
Yeah,
kind of
I think that might have been where it showed up for the first time. Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
Ross designed the look for he and Mark Waid's Kingdom Come miniseries. The design was so striking that it had to make its way to the comics. But again, you don't see it that often. I'm eager to see it. I think it'll be cool. But I'm really trying to avoid all that, you know, getting hung up on the reporting and the, well, maybe this is happening. Yeah. That's I can't do it anymore.
When's the next Marvel movie? I always forget.
I don't know. Is it Black Widow?
It's not Black Widow, is it?
Oh, I don't know.
Is there something in between?
I can look.
Yeah, well, just looking that up, I want to talk about Disney Plus has been actually very good to me lately because I've been having a chance to revisit the Iron Man and Fantastic Four cartoons from the...
No, it is Black Widow, May 1st, 2020.
Oh, really?
And then the Eternals in November.
Oh, Eternals is all the way in November?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, they're still working on that, so.
And Wonder Woman is June 5th.
June 5th. Okay. Yep. That makes sense.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I've been having a chance to watch Disney Plus and watch, we're watching The Mandalorian. Mandalorian's great.
Yeah.
Definitely check it out this week. If you haven't checked it out, I highly recommend it. Not because it's all zeitgeisty because of the Baby Yoda business. But I've really been enjoying just every episode. I mean, they're not all of them are great, but there's something a couple unique where I'm about like, all of them.
Meh. Yeah. There's been a couple where I'm like, but none of them, I haven't seen an episode yet where I'm like, fuck this, man.
Yeah.
You know, I've watched them all and every one of them I found enjoyable, even though there are some that I don't like as much as the others. And I'm not even a huge Star Wars person.
No.
But I really do like this kind of like, this is just the world we live in. And here's a story from it that doesn't have anything to, and this might prove me wrong, but we're not dealing with you're related to Luke Skywalker and you know what I mean? Like none of that shit's going on. It's just a guy who lives in this world. That's what I like. I don't need everybody being fucking related to like the big players. So I'm hoping that's not going to happen here. Because it could be like the Mandalorian is Luke Skywalker's, you know, brother. And who knows? Like
Steve Skywalker.
It's Steve Skywalker. Or like Baby Yoda is, you know, Yoda's child or some shit. I just want it to be like he's a race of the Yoda people.
Zack Ryder on the podcast this week, his podcast, he talked about he thinks that Baby Yoda is just a clone of original Yoda somehow. And that's kind of like what we're.
I was thinking that it was just going to be like this weird time paradox that it was like actual Yoda as a child it's going to be actual Yoda. But the only way for the Mandalorian to keep him safe is to send him back in time or some bullshit. And that would make me angry.
In time.
Yeah, pretty much. He's going to put him in a DeLorean and he's going to be like, back to the future. With like Doc Brown's going to show up. He's going to hand him Baby Yoda and they're just going to drive away.
I'm now just imagining fan art of the Mandalorian handing Doc Brown Baby Yoda.
Just handing him through the window.
And it just says the end, you know, whatever. I'll kind of laughing about that. But yeah. At least I dug into some of the Spider-Man, not the Spider-Man, the Iron Man cartoon from the 90s. Cause I used to watch some of that. For a while, like I think when it first started, like because it was also on like 7 in the morning. Oh. I had to get up at like Saturdays at 7 in the morning.
That was always annoying.
In the mid 90s, when I was doing footballs and shit. And
footballs.
And then I had to wake up and I want to watch the cartoons. So I had to wake up at 7 just to catch, or I think it was like 8 or something. But it was a hard watch.
Yeah.
At that time, you know, because it was just like I had to get up and I was so
tired,
but also like I was adamant about watching it.
Right.
So, but it's nice though that they're all up on the Plus network, the Disney Plus. It's a pretty corny ass cartoon. Actually, to even add that into it, and I mentioned this to you the other day, is that, you know, X-Men. We were watching some of the X-Men cartoon.
Yeah.
like the animation obviously is of its time. You know, it's just what it is.
But it's so much better than like the Fantastic Four or the Iron Man cartoons that we were watching.
Yeah, the X-Men animation is a little bit better. The stuff in the especially the Fantastic Four cartoon does not.
Oh, it's bad.
Does not hold up. The Iron Man cartoon is a little bit better.
Yeah.
But the storylines and the dialogue in it is pretty ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And it's fun, but it's fun to watch in that sense. And I really I mentioned to you, and maybe we'll do this next year, is when we'll do a watch of some of these episodes of some of these shows. Yeah, maybe at least X-Men, and
that'd
just report on it, because I think there's a lot to dig in there and, you know, talk about.
Yeah, for it being, you know, at the time it was, you know, 90s cartoon, it was supposed to be like the kid cartoon. Mm-hmm. Shit's dark as fuck.
Oh, yeah.
People are getting killed. There's a lot of mourning going on.
In the very first
episode. People who can't fucking deal with the death.
Yeah.
Of Morph, which is first episode. And I always remember it, but I didn't remember. Like, I don't think it dawned on me back then that was really fucked up.
Well, just only that, but also, like, okay, so you had the Sentinels.
Yeah.
Like, in this episode, the first episode, I think, it's like the two-parter, the Night of the Sentinels.
Mm-hmm.
And so, basically, you have, like, these giant-ass Sentinels just traipsing through suburban California, hunting down Jubilee.
Right.
And just taking no regard for...
No regard for civilians?
Civilians, property.
Nothing.
And no consequences at all. Like the cop, I don't think there's any points where the cops show up.
No,
and
no,
just go,
no, please.
What the fuck is this robot? Because we're all supposed to believe that, I guess, the Sentinels are government
issued. No,
they're
a private company.
But they're not. Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird. But yeah, maybe we'll talk about that because it's kind of fun. It's been rather enjoyable. I do want to say, was it the Fantastic Four or was it the Iron Man cartoon? Where I swear to God, the only thing they ever fought were robots, but robots that look exactly the same.
Oh, was it the...
I think, it was whichever one it had Wonder Man in it.
Oh, wait, that's right. We watched Avengers United They Stand.
Yes, and that one, like, literally, they're even like Grim Reaper was in it or whatever.
Yeah.
And he was a robot. But he looked exactly like the robot they fought like two episodes earlier, except he was pink and the other one was purple. And yeah. I was like, what the fuck? Why are there so many robots?
All the robots in that cartoon.
Why are there so many robots?
All the robots in that cartoon are some variation of Ultron.
Yes.
In some way.
They look exact, all of them. They're just different colors. And you're like, well, why are there so many of them?
Yeah, I'm going to keep digging into that. So I'm glad that that's available. So I guess that's really all I wanted to talk about. Is there anything else we want to cover before we get to our book?
I don't think so.
All right. Well, let's take a quick break and we'll come back with our book for this week.
Beginning with the origin of his comic book fandom and ending with the destruction of the universe, Professor Zoom Yukinori leads a monthly expedition through his favorite single-issue comic book stories from the Bronze Age of DC Comics. While promising unique celebrity guest perspectives in an ambitious attempt to set this program apart from other comic book review podcasts, thrill to the imagination, bask in the brilliance, experience the wonder of... The Done in One Wonders Podcast Wonder Show. Discover how compressed storytelling can broaden one's mind. Listen for it wherever Fire and Water Podcast Network podcasts are networking.
All right, we're back here in Worst Collection Ever with our book for this week. It is Hawk and Dove, Volume 3, Number 20, from January 1991. This is, I think, our second Hawk and Dove book that we've done. And we're doing this one because it is decidedly Christmas.
Yes.
And also I wanted to do something off the DC app. So here we are.
Can I point out that the cover of this book looks like the poster for Die Hard?
I think that's intentional.
Of course it is. It's absolutely intentional because Die Hard came out in 1988. So there's a wreath, a big wreath. It says season's greetings. And inside of that wreath is a big tower. Says We Are Toys on it. Hawk's head like behind that tower.
No, that's Dove.
Oh, I'm sorry. Dove's head behind that tower, much like Bruce Willis in Die Hard.
Yeah.
And then coming out of the center of the We Are Toys building is a huge explosion and a bunch of people.
It's a bunch of the villains of the book who end up being like
kind of like a Ninja Turtles parody?
Well, no, they're not the villains. Those are the quote heroes.
Oh, that's right.
The villains are the guy people dressed up like the Christmas sort of icons of sorts.
Yeah. Oh, like there's like a weird guy in a snowman costume where I'm just like, how are you moving?
Yeah, because
we'll talk about that when we see it.
You shouldn't be as nimble in that, but you got like a Santa, you got a Nutcracker, you got some elves, you got another toy soldier.
It's like if a bunch of mascots decided to rob a mall. And that's literally what this book is.
Oh man, that sounds great.
Yeah,
I feel like that's been done before.
I'm sure it must have been.
I feel like that's been like the premise of like some like.
But they're extremely limber mascots, even though they're in those fucking suits.
Yeah,
it's like a bunch of furries.
So on this one, it says 40 aisles of sheer terror. I'm sorry, I want to say I wish it was sheer terror. 40 aisles of sheer adventure, and at the top it says, "When the going gets tough, the tough go shopping."
How many floors is the building in Die Hard? 40?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't actually remember.
We're definitely trying to go for a Die Hard vibe.
Oh, yeah. Because, I mean, even back then, people were swearing up and down that Die Hard is a Christmas movie.
It is. 100%. 100% it is. Also,
much like Batman Returns is a Christmas movie. It takes place at Christmas. It's a fucking Christmas movie.
Yeah. No, I think we might need to. I feel like we need to get back on our Christmas viewing.
We do.
Because here's the thing. We used to have it where we haven't done. I don't think we've done it for the past couple of years, but we used to have it where we watch.
Oh, yeah. We had like a whole thing.
Well, we'd always watch the Always Sunny Christmas special.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was also the Justice League one with John going to
Superman's house
or whatever
to go see the Kents for Christmas.
Yes, which is that's such a great episode.
It is a really good episode. We also have the Brave and the Bold one where Red Tornado wants to know about Christmas.
Yes,
and he like wears a sweater.
Yes. Yes, that's a good one.
Yeah.
And I think that's it, but
wasn't there a Batman animated one we used to watch?
I don't know if we watched it. I mean, I know there's got to be at least two, right?
I think there's definitely one. And it's the one where like Robin wants Batman to like sit down and watch It's a Wonderful Life. Yeah. And he goes, "It's not relentlessly cheerful, is it?" And I'm just like, oh, Batman, how I love you so much.
Well, we should add that because we do have the DC app. Mm-hmm. So that'll make it easier for us just to find it. Because I thought I had the DVD of the Brave and the Bold one. I don't have it anymore. I don't know what happened to it. Yeah, I want to do that. And Batman Returns would be a great addition to that. So Hawk and Dove, Volume 3, Number 20 from January 1991. Start off, Dove is in her house or in her apartment. I think she lives with her mom. Okay,
this is what I couldn't figure out, if she was in high school or college.
So actually, let me set the thing here. Her and Hawk.
They hate each other.
Well, Hawk isn't really too fond of her.
They don't
seem to like each other. And also she's replacing Hawk's brother, who was the original Dove, who was killed in Crisis.
RIPD.
So, but they both are students at Georgetown, I think.
Oh, this makes sense.
Georgetown University or something like that. So
there's a weird locker room scene in here. We'll talk about it.
Dove's sitting there and she's like,
She's at home and she's supposed to go to some party. Mm-hmm. So her mom's going out to like do whatever her mom does. I guess her mom has like a career or something. So her mom's leaving and she's like, okay, well, you know, don't get into trouble. And she's like, I won't. And her mom says something to her like, your eyes are turning brown. Because like she's like saying that she's full of shit.
Because she's like, okay, don't look at your... Yeah, don't look at the presents before.
Oh yeah, don't look at the presents, even though I told you what closet they're in. Just fucking wrap them if you don't want her to look at them. And she's like, oh, I'm not going to look at them. And she's like, honey, your eyes are turning brown.
Because
so full of shit. Your entire body is filling up with shit.
Your eyes are filling with shit.
I can tell how full of shit you are by the brownness of your eyes.
That's what I'm going to say to somebody when I think they're full of shit. I'd be like, your eyes are turning brown.
What if we already have brown eyes, though? We're always full of shit. We were born full of shit. Congratulations to both of us.
So her mom takes off. Dove's like, well, I'm kind of...
Yeah, she's like, oh, man, I got 4 hours to this party. And instead of, like, sleeping or, like, watching TV, she's like, I guess I'll just, like, during the Christmas season, I'll just go hang out at the mall or something.
Well, she starts singing the Batman Jingle Bells theme, which the Batman smells.
Jingle Bells, Batman smells, Robin laid an egg. Batmobile lost her wheel and Joker got away. Hey.
I didn't know that was canon within the DC universe.
Oh, yeah. And they actually even sing it in the animated series. Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough. So, yeah, so we get the title line, you know, where she says when she thinks to herself, when the going gets tough, the tough go shopping. And she goes to the busiest mall I've ever seen in my entire life.
It's a fucking nightmare. It looks like a stadium.
It looks like a stadium because you could.
That's how many people are there. It looks like a goddamn stadium.
It's drawn in such a way that, like, it just looks so claustrophobic.
It literally looks like these people are waiting for a sporting event to happen. That's how many people are drawn in the background.
I can
never, like, because there's like levels, so yeah. You see these people in the levels, and it really just looks like a stadium. And I'm sorry, I'm like, why did you do that instead of just reading a fucking book? What are you doing? Why did you leave the house? I mean, that's what I always think. Why did you leave the house?
Also, too, there's this toy soldier here that's like welcomes creepy. Her to there, and he's just kind of staring at her.
And apparently this is just a toy store. Just We Are Toys.
Why is
it just a toy store?
Oh my God.
Right?
This makes me sick. I just think about this. Because we went out today. We went out to Larimer Square.
Yep.
To visit like a
there was like a little outdoor market,
and you know there's a few things, you know, just people out there, and then
it was cold.
It was cold, and then we went to there's like down the street there was a Bavarian or like a
German one, because it had like, you know, Sinterklaas or whatever, and like that, you know how I can't remember, I think it's the Netherlands where they have like the women who wear the candles.
Yeah
they have one of those ladies.
Okay.
It was called like the Kris Kringle Market or something.
Yeah.
We went to it and it's like has a fence around it. So it's just all these fucking people. And it really wasn't even that crowded. It was just because it was just all fenced in and very close together.
Yeah.
You couldn't move.
So that made me uncomfortable because I don't like outdoor crowds like that. I mean, there's certain instances where I could deal with crowds.
Yeah.
But sometimes, especially when it's cold.
It was,
you know,
cold.
When the elements are against you and just everybody's just kind of like traipsing around and there's not a lot of space to walk. I don't like it.
Nope.
I look at this and I would rather move across the country 5 times in a row.
Which is also something you hate.
But I would do that rather than go to this store.
Yeah.
A toy store.
There's no way.
Filled with a mass of people.
There's no way.
Because, like, I mean, look, I understand.
How do you look at anything?
The floor. I don't even see any product.
There's no product, just people.
I just see people.
Oh my God, people are product.
Oh.
Do you buy humans here?
Nice.
Oh no, it's a dystopia.
And so they even got a stage in here and stuff. This feels like a bad dream of mine.
It's a fucking nightmare.
So the story is officially called A Babe in Toyland.
Stupid.
Well, also too, did you catch this comment where Dove talks about she pulled a prank?
Oh, yeah.
She says, I haven't stopped in.
She should have been arrested for something?
Yeah, she says, I haven't stopped in to see their displays since Alec and I pulled that little prank in their Paris store. Thank God, Mom's State Department connections and diplomatic immunity. So,
I was like, what the fuck did you do?
I'm imagining a bunch of people were killed in some sort of septic mishap.
Yeah, either that or there was an awful lot of property damage and she should be doing some sort of time in a Paris prison. But her mom, much like the parents of any rich child, got them out of trouble.
Yeah, I kind of wish there was an episode.
There won't be any consequences for you. We have money.
I kind of wish there was an issue of this where she goes to like some other country and then it's just like she gets extradited. And then that's how the series ends, because she ends up in like prison like that girl in Italy.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Just awful shit happening. Mm-hmm. She ends up in the gulag. So they got this ballerina. Is that a statue or is that an actual woman?
It's a woman, because doesn't she like end up like fighting later?
Oh, is she part of this crew?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's a Santa. There's an elf. People are waiting to see Santa, and Santa's like, I'm going on break. And the kid's mad. He's like, don't worry, because here come the, and what are they called?
Superpowered Samurai Saurians.
So they call them like Saurians?
Saurians. So they're basically like Saurians.
Yeah, so they call them Saurs. Because there's like a short name that they refer to them as.
Saurians?
I think it's just Saurs.
Saurs?
Saurs.
Saurs?
Like dinosaur?
SARS, the disease?
Yes, they refer to them as the disease. Because they
you're
are
going
like,
to get SARS.
No, because they're like, hey, wait till you see the SARS, and it's S-A-U-R-S. Yeah. SARS.
Dinosaurs.
SARS.
SARS.
So there's a snowman standing there, and they're like, hey, kids, here comes, you know, your favorite, what are supposed to be Ninja Turtles, but they're just dinosaur ninjas. Yeah. Ninja dinosaurs.
And they, but they're also named after presidents.
Yeah, instead of artists.
There's Jefferson, Roosevelt, and I forgot some of the other ones.
There's only four of them. It's very upsetting.
Well, there's one called Taft. It's also one called Hoover.
Hoover.
Harding. My favorite. That's my favorite Tsar.
What, a Harding?
Harding Tsar. Hard.
What's a president no one remembers?
Harding. Warren G. Harding.
Fair.
I mean, take your pick. Zachary Taylor. Anybody care about him?
Mm-mm, no.
James K. Polk.
Oh, yeah.
Chester A. Arthur.
Sure.
Donald Trump.
Oh. Fortunately, too many people care about him. So, yeah. So there's like a billion people, and all of a sudden, here come these guys in dinosaur costumes.
And they got like knives and shit.
And they're like, yeah, oh,
the SARS, see the SARS.
Yeah, the SARS. Oh, my God, here they are. Isn't it great? And everybody's like, yay. And all the kids are excited. And then we cut to like the back.
Yeah.
And there's like a bunch of security dudes sitting there, like doing nothing, just like drinking coffee. And an elf comes and throws like a steaming package on them, which I'm assuming is knockout gas.
Yeah.
They get knocked out.
Oh, apparently instead of pizza, they love nachos. Because they're singing a song talking about, like,
nachos
coming from Mount Rushmore to your neighborhood. Because they're fucking dead presidents as dinosaur ninjas. And they love nachos.
Nachos? What's a nacho?
Do you ever know people that pronounce nacho nacho?
No, because those people are incorrect. How white are those people?
Father Joey of my family.
White.
What?
I said, how white are those people that they say nacho instead of nacho? It's a nacho.
It's pretty jarring when you hear somebody say nacho.
Well, yeah. It's kind of like when you order a quesadilla.
No.
You have so often said quesadilla as a joke that now you just call it a quesadilla.
I'd say a lot of things.
And I yell at you.
There's been a lot of times that I've said a lot of things as jokes.
And then you forget how it's actually pronounced.
And now it's just how I say it.
Yeah, it's very upsetting.
So it is pretty upsetting because I've regressed.
You have, because you're like, we'll go to Chipotle and you're like, yeah, I want the pico de gallo. And I'm like,
I think I've always said pico de gallo.
It's like gallo.
I don't think I've ever said it, gallo.
Well, learn.
Angry wife gets mad at husband's pronunciation of gallo.
It's wrong.
Gallo. All right, 2020. Well, 2020, that's
2020
the year.
2020
is the year. Sean pronounces Pico de Gallo.
Gallo.
Gallo, right.
Gallo.
I'm going to practice by going
to the Can I get some nachos and some Pico de Gallo with a quesadilla?
Sir, you need to leave.
Sir, get out.
Get out. We don't serve those things. So apparently in this the store, you know, we see that there's the security's getting gassed, and these people dressed as toy soldiers with guns apparently are shutting down everything. Uh-huh. They close the gates. But they're also like using like lingo, like they close the gates and and they're talking to their walkie-talkies. So like, we're gift wrapped.
Yeah, they have like.
I'm like, you're committing a crime, dude.
They have Christmas code words.
Oh man,
I still kind of don't understand what their purpose is, but.
Well, I think we kind of learned that there's like two purposes in the way.
Yeah, I guess.
Because like, as we learn, there what somebody like I think the Santa worked for the guy that plays a Santa. Worked for the guy that runs the store, and they didn't get paid properly. But then there's also a thing about a guy that used to be a toy maker that's a part of this group. And here's this Frosty.
I mean, he literally looks like he's just wearing, you know, the inflatable snowman that you see on people's lawns. Mm-hmm. He just looks like he's wearing one of those. And I don't know how he's moving at all. And he's like carrying a flamethrower.
Yeah.
And he tied up some people.
He tied up some plainclothes police officers, apparently.
Apparently those guys are wandering around.
Yeah, I don't know how you point them out. You know, you're just like, oh, I guess you're a police officer. So, yeah, so Santa's up there throwing out a bunch of toys. Oh, Lincoln. Lincoln's another one. Mm-hmm. So we got Lincoln, Roosevelt, Jefferson, and I don't know who the other one is. I'm sure we'll find out. So, yeah, so we get that. Here's the ballerina.
Who's like flying around on like a trapeze thing. But she's also like still doing this as the dinosaur guys are dancing.
Yeah.
So she, but she's part of this like group of guys.
Yeah, she's a part of this crew. Which, by the way, also by the way, the SARS headquarters is $125 on sale. This is 1991 money.
Oh shit!
So we're that's a pretty penny.
That's fucking expensive. Then we got like a creepy nutcracker, and this is kind of when Dove starts realizing something's wrong.
Yeah, so Dove's kind of, you know, she's being watching things, and this is the ballerina hits the pterodactyl of the group
right in
the
face.
I'm assuming that was Grant.
I think Santa puts a gun in one of the other dinosaurs' faces, which is actually a very funny picture.
Well, he puts it in his face and he says Carla Bunka, because, you know, we're not saying
Cowabunga. McClunky.
McClunky. Yeah, McClunky.
McClunky.
Chaos is abound here.
Why they're beating up the dinosaurs, though, I don't understand.
I don't know. I mean,
because it's kind of like
real ninjas.
But that's the thing. I'm like, they're distracting the entire crowd. Like right now, you can do the robbing, and no one's gonna notice. You've already subdued the cops and the security in the back. You have a perfect distraction.
Well, the idea is that they're gonna rob everybody in the audience too. So.
Oh, this, it's just too much for a scheme.
Yeah.
Like, you have to set on one scheme. You can't make your schemes too big. Like, do one solid scheme. You're going to walk away. Look at it. It's so crowded. Imagine the money you're going to walk off with in the back.
Yeah, right.
That's a better scheme than trying to, like, throw in all these variables.
Yeah, I think you would.
These villains are just bad villains. They need a better mastermind.
There's no ho-ho way out.
Yeah, because Santa just shoots a gun into the air of an extremely crowded area.
Oh, then Frosty shoots a bunch of fire across their heads.
And then fucking Frosty's just unloading his flamethrower into the crowd.
He's like the Mandalorian.
I'm surprised he didn't kill anybody.
Yeah, so now they're just robbing people, like, doing petty stuff.
And then Dove becomes Dove.
So Dove gets her.
I guess Dove just says Dove, and then she's in her costume.
Yeah, they could just say Dove.
I also think Hawk and Dove's kind of a dumb gimmick.
It is a dumb gimmick.
Okay.
Actually, before we get to what's going on there, this is where we cut to the locker room.
Well, that's right.
Scene.
Then we cut to the locker room where, like, Hawk is hanging out with his buddies, and he's like, I don't know, he just got from the gym, or he just got done doing a game. And it's like him, and who's this guy, Henry or Harry?
Oh, God, I forgot.
So Hank? Is. It says with an H.
Hank's Hawk.
Hank's Hawk, and then there's the other guy in the glasses.
They got a buddy. Yeah, I forgot what his name
so
is.
They're like sitting there, and then all of a sudden we start talking about this other guy, like, sending his suit out, his superhero suit out, because so, like, there's a garment bag, and Hawk is like, oh dude, you're not gonna wear a tux to Donna's party. This is the party that they're all supposed to be going to.
He goes, no, it's not a tux, it's my mysterious alter ego costume, the Black Russian.
And I'm like, what? But is he actually a superhero?
I don't think so.
Is this a joke? Like, it's so out of place, and there's no context, since I don't know who this guy is.
Yeah.
And since I haven't been reading it, I'm just like, okay,
I don't know. Yeah,
did you, are you in, is he in a locker room full of other superheroes?
I don't know, they're just in a Georgetown locker room, that's it.
Okay.
And they're just hanging out, you know. Hank's like, oh, are you really, you're not really a superhero, are you? Because, you know, because nobody knows that he's Hawk,
right?
Because now we got the elf, who I think is the one of the people that, because, like, the manager of the store is like, oh, you worked for me for 7 years as an elf, it's like, what's the, you know, why are you doing this? And she's like, well, I ain't making enough money. So they're basically like, we're gonna rob everybody here. Mm-hmm. This is how it's gonna be. So I think they are robbing the majority of the money from the store, because they're talking, because they decided to go there when all the people were there.
Yeah.
Doing the dinosaur, you know, for the dinosaur rage. So this is where Dove shows up, and she gets into fighting in that office. So this is, okay, this is where it gets even weirder.
Right.
Because now, like, somebody's on the phone calling the cops, and then the guy, one of the guys dressed as a nutcracker, is like, you don't know me, but I'm one of those guys. I'm a guy that used to do a toy line, and you know, now you owe me, you know, and I'm gonna cause some shit. But this is where Dove shows up, and she's like, I got one of your guys. And Dove, you know, she, you know, they're shooting at her. Basically, like, they rob everybody in the audience, and they realize that nobody has any cash on them, because it's the 90s, man. Nobody's got any cash. Everybody's got cards.
Right? This is what we do.
Apparently, there's a chopper coming, too. Apparently, this
Well, again, Die Hard. You got to get a fucking chopper.
We're Die Hard in here. I think this is where the nutcracker grabs. He just jumps out of a window.
It's just weird.
It just kind of, this whole thing just kind of goes to shit.
Yeah, well, it all goes to shit. There's all a bunch of guns, you know. I don't know.
What's going on here?
I think people are, Dove has like one of those dart guns, and she starts shooting one of the nutcrackers.
Yeah.
And she's like, make my holiday, which is just stupid.
And then Frosty.
With his fucking flamethrower.
Like a fucking monster, like a maniac. Like he just burns everybody up.
This thing should burn to the ground at this point.
Yeah, this place should
be. Everyone should be dead.
Anyways, yeah. Now how this Frosty is moving so quickly.
That's how any of them are.
It's very weird. Yeah, so Dove gets in there and she douses him with some water. But now this is where the Santa shows up.
Santa's trying to shoot somebody in the face. Well,
Santa's got the boss, or the main guy. One of the nutcrackers, he has his mask off. He looks like, you know, Lex Luthor, the bald-ass guy. And he's like, look, man, this guy forced me to do this because he decided to go with all the robots and the dinosaur figures and not actually do the toys that I did.
Yeah.
The guy's like, hey, maybe if you updated your line, maybe you wouldn't have this problem.
Right.
Things just go to shit here. Dove is like, look, don't do this. You're Santa with a gun. Don't shoot. Dove convinces him to not shoot. And she gets his gun, and they're just kind of like, Santa's like, all right, we're done here. This is where the ballerina, she comes charging at her.
Right?
And Dove just shoots the gun and knocks down like a chandelier or something. Or actually, she shoots a decoration.
Like she's a giant snowflake.
Like a giant snowflake, which for all intents and purposes should impale this woman.
Yeah. Oh, no. She should be 100% dead.
Like she should be friggin'.
But she just falls backwards.
Halved.
There's still more like police and
that's right, though. She worked dealing with this because the police finally show up, and Dove's like, yeah, I already took care of this,
right?
And the police chief is like, oh, okay, I got a mullet. And there's this joke in here where he's like, yeah, I love those dinosaurs, I collect them all. And he's like, oh, I guess for my nephew. And it's like, no, you can collect them for yourself. Anyways, so she, you know, and so they're flirting because they're a couple. They end up being a couple.
Right.
Like Dawn or Dove ends up being a couple with this mulleted police guy. And so now we go to this party. Dawn finally shows up. Lo and behold, well, Hank's there. And Hank's, there's a girl that they used to be with.
What, that he used to date?
They used to date, that's not at this party. And that they've had some issues with. Or he's had some issues with that, like just something happened in a previous issue of this comic. This girl got abducted or possessed. So they have some issues. So he's wondering where she is. And everybody thinks that like Dove and Hawk are together.
Right. Because they really spend so much time together. And isn't it like somebody gets mad at Hawk because they overheard Dove and Hawk talking about something?
There's some sort of mystical thing going on.
Sure.
And some sort of place where they ended up having like some sort of connection to that. And now they're trying to kind of recover from that, I guess. Dawn gets whisked away. She gets to meet the Donnas who host of the party. She gets to meet her brother's college's roommate, who ends up being the mulleted police officer.
Oh, no.
She kind of is like, oh, this is an interesting thing because we're all meeting each other, and it's very weird.
It's a party. It's the holidays.
It's a 90s party written in a DC comic.
Right.
The reason why this is taking me kind of slow, I'm tapping the thing, and I'm like, eh, eh.
Yeah.
Hawk gets to home, and he plugs in his new answering machine, and there's a answering machine message that's already recorded on there from this girl, Ren. He's like, oh, cool. Ren's not mad at me after all the shit that went down in this space thing that we had. Maybe I should go find her or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes outside, and he clobbers a woman with the door, and it turns out to be this Ren woman.
Right.
And then we just get a nice moment where they say, hey, everything's cool. It's the holidays. I like you. You like me. Happy holidays. And they kiss.
Yep.
The end. That is the end of Hawk and Dove number 21 from January 1991. Do you want to find out what else is going on with Hawk and Dove?
No.
Yeah, I don't know either. They're not really that interesting.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, also too, I mean, look, it's a holiday book. So you're not really getting like the A stories from it.
Right.
I feel like a lot of times the holiday stories aren't meant to be serious. Like they'll be, no, they'll be fun, but they're not meant to be like super serious.
I kind of wish that lady got impaled. That would have made this book fun.
Yeah, I think that would have been great in there. Just all of a sudden she just gets like a snowflake through her body. And it's just Dove going back to this party. It's like just being really spooked out, pulling Hank aside. It's like, I can't believe it. I killed a woman. And Hank has to hug her and everybody gets mad because they think they're together, but they want to hook people up with each other and don't want them to be together. There's a fight that breaks out. Somebody knocks over the punch and everybody has to leave the party. Nothing good happens in this book. And that's that would be the last issue of the book because somebody spilled the punch. That's it for this week's show. Thank you for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week with another book. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram. Angry Hero Sean on Twitter and Instagram for me.
And I'm at Jen Stansfield on Twitter and Instagram. I'm sort of writing X-Files reviews. I haven't written one in like a month. But it's jenstansfield.wordpress.com. You can find us on Facebook, Worst Collection Ever, and email the show worstcollectionever@gmail.com.
And please rate, review, subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you get the show. Please rate, review, leave us a nice message if you can, and also tell your friends. That would be really dope. So thanks again for listening, folks, and we'll talk to you again next time.
Bye.